Okay, time once again for Got 'Em, Need 'Em with Sal Berry of PuckJunk.com. Sal, your Blackhawks came all the way back, lost in Game 7 overtime. I mean, that's as close as you can get without winning a series, losing by one goal. A monumental comeback, just fell short. I take it you've recovered.
Yeah, I've recovered, but I got to tell you, it's been a little bit harder to watch the playoffs now that I don't have a horse in the race anymore.
So, I guess you drown your sorrows going back to hockey cars, right?
Yeah, I mean, and even like my second favorite team, the Penguins, are gone.
So, oh, okay, not a good spring for you.
No, not at all. But actually, there's some exciting news in hockey cards.
Go ahead.
Score is coming out with a rookie and traded set.
Like they used to the old days, right?
Like they used to the old days. It's going to be 99 cards, about $20, 65 rookie cards in the set, and then the rest will be players who've changed teams or maybe a free agent here and there, like Peter Forsberg. Even though he didn't last very long, he gets a card in the set.
Very nice.
One interesting thing that, I don't know if this is interesting, maybe this will, actually, I'd like to know how you feel about this.
Yep.
The set is 99 cards. One out of every 20 sets will have a 100th card of someone, they're not saying who it is yet, but of somebody who has never appeared on a hockey card before, and all they're saying is that they are an NHL legend. They're not saying they're a Hall of Famer, they're not saying they're, you know, it's somebody... somebody not new, not like a new prospect, they're getting a card for the first time, but somebody from the past who has never gotten a card before is getting a card.
So what? Hasn't everyone had a card? Haven't they, when the glut of 20 years ago, didn't they start making cards for the Eddie Shores and the Howie Morenzes of the world? Aren't they all covered?
You would think so, but according to Score, or excuse me, according to Panini,
yep.
No, there is one more, or I don't know, say one more, but there's one particular person. But I think what's frustrating some collectors is that if this was like, okay, the 100th card is a surprise and you'll find out when you buy it or when it gets announced or whatever, that would be fine. But what's happening is they're not going to be in every set. It's going to be one out of every 20 sets. So not even everybody's going to get this card.
Now, any guess who this mystical person is?
You know, I guessed Lord Stanley, but he probably had some sort of card.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Product.
That's right.
I don't know, maybe Colin Campbell, maybe one of the founders, but I can't really see getting too excited about
Who wants a card of James Norris? And I don't mean the trophy, I mean the guy, whoever it is. Okay, well, that's a little different. That's intriguing. I guess you got to sort of hype things up. We'll find out. Legend can be defined in many different ways.
Yes, yes.
All right. Now, is there a demand, you think, for the Score traded set?
Yeah, I think there will be a demand because... some people liked Score. It was pretty well received. I mean, some people were really mad about the whole rookie redemption thing that didn't happen.
Right.
But I think people who bought Score are definitely going to buy the update set because it's $20 and you get, you know, the whole set or 99 out of 100, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's a little, I don't want to say a little cheap, but I don't know. I mean, of course, if they had just left it at, you know, the 100th card is a surprise, I think people would be really excited about it, but then saying, one out of every 20 sets, and it's just like, whoa, okay.
But then again, even if it is a surprise, the first day it's out, it's all over the internet. Maybe they could have, you know, done like 20 surprises and interspersed them or something. That's usually what they do, don't they?
Oh, that, you see, that would have been kind of interesting. That would have had a little more incentive to maybe buy a couple of the sets.
See who you ended up with, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard because, like, with packs, you know, you buy as many as you can to build a set and you hope
sure.
to get some extras. But with the set, it's like you buy a set, you buy another set, and it's like you have 100 duplicates of all the same cards and maybe one different one.
Yeah,
but
that's
anyways,
a little strange.
Why don't we, I actually wanted to talk about, since I haven't gotten any new cards lately, so I wanted to focus in on another couple of old sets.
Sure, go ahead. What are we looking at?
I want to talk about the 88-89 Topps and OPC sets.
I actually collected both.
Really? So you bought, how did you collect both?
I was living in Ottawa at the time. And Opeachy was readily available, of course, but I just went to some of the card stores, and because of the popularity of Gretzky going over to the Kings, they brought up a lot of the Topps product.
Now, the Topps product came out before the Opeachy product.
You would know, and that's my recollection, too, yes. And there was a different Gretzky card, right?
It was a different Gretzky card, and I do want to focus in on that. But so do you think that maybe a lot of the card shops back in the day purchase the Topps product because they'd have these hockey cards sooner than because.
Very much so. In fact, now that you mention this and it's all coming back through the cobwebs of time, I do remember one reason I bought the Topps set is because I saw it there first, or the packs. I didn't buy a set; I bought it actually in packs. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I bought a few packs of it, and then I ended up just buying a set.
Right.
As a kid, because you know. If you saw a complete set and it was, you know, you could afford it, if you had enough money to buy the set, then you'd just be like, well, I don't have to mess around with packs. I just get all the cards and be done with it. And then I think a couple years later, I picked up the OPG set. I'm actually not quite sure when. But looking at it now, you know, one thing I want to talk about, when you think of hockey cards, when you think of, like, just the classic era of hockey cards,
yep.
However far back that is for any of us, what design elements do you think of usually on hockey cards?
You mean the front or the back?
The front. Because the back is like stats and biography.
Well, yeah, but I always think of those goofy cartoons. And, like, I always love those cartoons in the back where, you know, like Dave Keon likes to play chess in his off time or whatever. It was Terry O'Reilly, actually. I like those things. On the front, definitely picture of the player, mm-hmm. duh. Maybe the team logo, the name of the player, the name of the team, and personally not much more than that, and maybe a small logo of the company.
Mm-hmm. And maybe sometimes they would do some sort of hockey stick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Into the design, there's some sort of hockey stick just to underscore the fact it's a hockey card, not baseball or football. You're right.
Right, a hockey stick or a hockey puck. I think of, like, the previous season, 87-88, they had that hockey stick and that puck.
Yeah, and in the back, sometimes they would have, like, a skate or something. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yep.
Or, like, 74-75 had, like, the hockey stick. And then, like, I'm trying to think, like, I think, like, one of the sets from the 60s, I want to say 60-61, but it could be later than that.
Right.
Had, like, a stick and a puck with, like, the player name in it. So those were, like, really overused design things. Like, oh, it's a hockey card. Let's put a hockey stick on it.
Yeah.
The 88-89 set has push pins.
I recall that, yes.
And a little name tag at the top. I want to almost call it a post-it note, even though it's not the right proportion. But just work with me here. So you got the colorful border that goes around the picture, right?
Yeah.
That almost, to me, I almost see that as like neon piping around like a storefront window.
Yeah.
And if you think of the 80s, you think that's really like, I don't know when neon was really started to use, but I don't know, you just think of like the lights on a sign or like a storefront window, like neon and push pins and post-it notes. It just feels very 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time, you just kind of look at it and go, oh, okay, it's a hockey card. It's cool. It's got all my favorite players. And, you know, looking back 20-something years later, I'm just like, man, not only is this a really 80s design, but it also feels kind of fun.
Right.
With the drop shadow, with the bright colors. So that's one reason why I've really liked this design, you know, so many years later, is because it's just so different. I mean, push pins, come on.
No, I remember that. Yep. Absolutely.
And maybe that's what people did in the 60s. They take a push pin and they pin their favorite card up on the wall or something.
In the 60s, I did that in the 70s.
A trading card without somebody passing out, like, oh my god,
oh great,
worth something.
I did that to all my cards in the 70s. Yes, jeez, I remember.
Stuck them on the wall or something.
I'll put them on my bulletin board. Maybe my own Hockey Hall of Fame. Luckily, I had a lot of doubles and triples.
Were you the guy? I was telling
the
story to somebody the other day. Were you the guy that would cross out the team name and write in the new team name when they got traded?
Absolutely. In fact, I remember once in Edmonton, there was some big trade in, like, 1975. I remember saying, could I be excused from the dinner table? I don't remember the trade. It wasn't Espel. I wasn't living there then. It was early in the 74-75 season. And my dad said, sure, what do you got to go do? I said, I have to go. I just heard the trade on the radio. I have to go change my hockey cards. Because, no, I didn't have media guide. Hockey news, my dad didn't give a subscription. There was no internet. That was my way of sort of keeping track. And it used to bug me when guys would get traded who didn't have hockey cards. Yes, I was that idiot.
Well, so if you were a kid in 88 or whatever, you would have been taking all your Gretzky cards and scratching out Oilers and writing in King.
Yes, luckily I was older by then and much more savvy, and I did have media guides. I didn't do that then. But early 70s, mid-70s, yeah, I absolutely did.
Now, speaking of trades, one thing that is interesting is that, for the most part, especially by the 80s, I know in the 70s, Topps and OPG did vary with some of the photographs that they use, depending on what set and what year.
Right.
And then by, like, the late 70s all the way through the 80s, it would always be the same photograph.
Yeah.
The only thing that would change is, like, maybe, like, for instance, like, the Topps Doug Gilmore card has him as a blue, and the OPG card, same photo, but they just changed the border and the logo and the colors on it and says now with flames. But with Gretzky, they did use two different cards.
Yes.
And I think what's very unique about the top set, and I know a lot of Canadians that I talk to online are like, I don't bother with the top set because it just it doesn't have as many cards, it's not as valuable, whatever, whatever. But the Gretzky card is really interesting because it used a press conference photo.
Him holding up the white Kings jersey, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's when they revealed the new jerseys.
Yes, it was, yep.
Because it's not the press conference when he was traded, because he wasn't holding up a jersey then.
Right.
I think a couple months later, or maybe a week later, I don't know when, but, you know, they had him hold up the new jersey, the new Kings jersey.
Yep.
So I think that's really unique, because Topps spared Gretzky from painting over his jersey.
Well, it's Gretzky. I guess you couldn't do that to the King, so to speak.
I guess you couldn't do that, and you couldn't do, like, a now with Kings, you know, little thing. Because, I mean, this was such a big deal. I mean, this is considered the greatest trade in sports.
Well, the most shocking trade, absolutely. And as you know, then Opeachy came out with a different card.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they had a photo of him standing on the ice, like, in full uniform.
And I kind of like the fact they did that. I like a little differential between the two sets. I know in the past they've had kind of slightly different colored backs and the numbering has been different because of the series that have been released. But to actually have two different cards of the key player in the National Hockey League at that point, when I went to the card store, that was what they were talking about. Well, you got to get the other set because there's a different Gretzky card.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, if you bought the top set. And then also, well, Topps also had the stickers.
Yes.
The insert stickers.
Yes.
That would come one per pack, and Opeachy did not for some reason. But what's interesting is that later on you'd get more and more press conference photos. Like, this almost kind of like made it okay to do that.
Right.
Like the next year in basketball, you remember a player named David Robinson.
Of course.
So they had a press conference photo of him in the 89-90 Hoops basketball set because, I mean, it was a big deal. He hadn't played yet. So they didn't have a picture of him in the
right.
I mean, he hadn't played NBA yet, so they had a press conference photo of him. And then this became, and then, you know, with the draft picks, then you had, you know, Jagr standing in the Penguins jersey and the hat. And
oh, I remember the upper deck of Pavel Bure out in, like, Manhattan Beach in L.A. wearing rollerblades.
Well, yeah, then they got even more ridiculous with that. I think at that point in the early to mid-90s, companies definitely tried to one-up one another with just getting more outrageous with things.
Now,
I mean, if you look into, like, the late 80s, it was all, like, you know, warm-up photographs, and then they have, like, a press conference thing. So this Gretzky card, even though, it is different than the Opeachy version, it did kind of start to set a trend in kind of a change. Like, we need to have the photos more up-to-date.
Gotcha. Now, we're running out of time quickly here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you got more to talk about on this set. We'll have to save it for another time.
No problem.
On that subject, because it's timely, you probably saw that the Gretzky rookie the other day, a mint condition 10 out of 10, which to me is next to impossible, but I guess it exists, sold for like what, $93,000 or something?
$94,000 and change.
Was that you buying that cell?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, can I borrow $94,000?
Yeah, exactly. Now, what is a 10 out of 10 card? What are the odds that anyone has a 10 out of 10 card after all these years?
I really don't know. I mean, that's so strange. I mean, there are still unopened cases.
Sure.
Unopened boxes floating around. I mean, every now and then, like, I was at a show and somebody had, I want to say it was an unopened box of, I don't know if it was Topps or Opeachy, 7980.
Yeah.
But I just looked at it and it had some, like, ridiculous price tag, like, 1500 or something. And I just kind of shrugged, like, yeah, you know, I mean, that's really like gambling if you think about it. Like, I'm going to buy a box of cards and hope that I get.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Especially if they're, like, old cards like that. So it is possible. I mean, every now and then, like, I know that when I went to a show, some dealer had all these 73, 74 Topps cards, and they were mint. He had literally opened a box of them, and they were all in, like, really great condition.
Right.
So it is possible, but it's improbable, because if you just consider, like, you know, one card in every pack got stained from the wax.
Of course, or the gum, or the gum.
We have gum stuck to it now after 30 years.
That's right.
That sugar's gonna melt. I don't know. I don't. I mean, $94,000 though. I mean, for Gretzky. I think I would just spend less and get something that just looked really good, and then use the other
Money to buy other stuff.
$93,000 to maybe buy some other cards.
Gotcha. Now, and we're running out of time here quick with Sal Berry. I've got one Gretzky rookie. I know it's not a counterfeit because I'm never going to sell it. It's in very good condition. I'm not saying it's 10 out of 10, but it's probably 8 out of 10. I know because I pulled it out of the pack all those years ago and put it aside. Even when we weren't putting it in plastic back then, I did something. For some reason, I just knew it was a special card. Duh. How many Gretzkys do you have, Gretzky rookies, and what shape are they in?
I have a Topps Gretzky rookie, and it's probably in, I want to say, very good to near mint shape. I haven't looked at it in a while. I have, like, all my best cards tucked away in the closet somewhere.
Yep.
So I don't look at them all the time. I mean, I keep them just kind of out of the way so I don't trip over them.
Yep.
I will admit, and I'm really bummed about this, but I did get taken for a counterfeit many years ago.
I'm sure many have. Yep.
But, you know, it was funny because this guy was selling a bunch of cards. I talked to him. I don't think he knew it was a counterfeit at the time. I didn't know it was a counterfeit either. I mean, to me, it looked like a really good...
Then how did you find out it was?
I'll tell you. You know what? When he sold it to me, it was in a super thick card holder.
Right.
And what I eventually did was I took it out of that card holder. Let's see. I probably bought it in 93, so I probably did this maybe like last year or 2 years ago. So I took it out of a super thick card holder. I went to put it in a different card holder, and... The card holder in question actually had like a little indentation where the card was supposed to fit in. It was a two-piece thing.
Yeah.
And the card was a little too big for it. Hmm. Then I took another old Opeachy card from the same year, and I put them side by side, and I noticed that the one that my Gretzky that I had thought was real for all these years was maybe a little bit bigger.
Right.
Like just big enough that it wouldn't fit in a hold it wasn't the standard 2.5 by 3.5. Another thing, those old Opeachy cards usually have really jaggedy edges because of the way they were cut. So
yes.
If you see one that has smooth edges, like this $94,000 card probably does, you got to be really careful.
I hope that's not a counterfeit. That's another show we can do one day about grading cards and counterfeiting and all that sort of stuff. That may not be what you usually concentrate on, but since it's in the news, I wouldn't mind touching upon that to some degree, because I've never had my cards graded. I don't feel like paying to have them done. I'm not looking to sell them, but I do have some cards that are good cards that are in good condition. I have them in non-PVC plastic. I put them aside, but again, it's just to keep them looking good. I'm not looking to sell them. Maybe my kid will one day. You never know.
No, you don't. I mean, I guess all you could do is just enjoy it while it lasts.
That pretty much sums up life. Sal, good stuff. We'll talk to you very soon, my friend.
All right, take care.